702.
News and current affairs.
Welcome back. 21 minutes to 10 o'clock, and this is our second current affairs feature. And if you've just joined us, welcome. My name is Thabo Shole Mashao. I'm standing in for Aubrey. And herein, we are speaking about the impact of load shedding on funeral parlors. The Sowetan reported earlier on that a Soweto family has told of the trauma of finding a decomposed body of a loved one at a state mortuary just days after their father had died. And this while food producers warn that the pressure on the agricultural sector remains due to rolling blackouts in the country. And all these issues are all interrelated, but with a special focus on load shedding on funeral parlors. To guide us and tell us a little bit more about it, open our eyes to this issue, is none other than Johan Rousseau. Johan, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Welcome to 702.
Good evening to you and your listeners. And we are always appreciative of the invitation.
How widespread is this issue? How widespread is the effects of load shedding on funeral parlors, and what are the actual after effects thereof?
Well, Thabo, it's definitely impacting onto the funeral industry, and not only on the funeral industry, but also onto state institutions. So it's widespread throughout the country. And the effect thereof is that it has become uncontrollable. We've seen media reports recently, and I was fortunate to have an interview with a Sowetan on the same matter and on Pretoria FM last week as well. And we must understand that, you know, knowledge plays a very large role within the industry. And we've seen the comments of organizations, and we don't want to discredit what they are saying. But we must understand that, you know, we understand that people are now skeptical and scared of their loved ones becoming deceased. In this particular case of Soweto, which was reported upon the Soweto, we must also then just take into consideration that how long has the person passed away before a post-mortem was done?
Mm.
How long has it been lying outside of a mortuary before, you know, forensic facilities was, you know, collected the deceased? The post-mortem took place. So there's a variety of factors, and we understand the psychological and social and trauma of the families, but we need to understand that government has got capacity constraints, and it's throughout the country. We've just had the news that one of the MECs want to see us very urgently, particularly about this matter. And other matters. And I think the problem is that we've got is that there's a lot of funeral parlors. We must understand that. And I'm not talking on behalf of the industry, but as an independent organization with no vested interest. The fact of the matter is that there is no effective regulation in the country. And that's what I'm saying. And I've been preaching that gospel for the past 20 years.
What would regulation, how would that help?
Okay.
And particularly with load shedding, apologies.
Okay. Let me tell you, first and foremost, we understand that a mortuary, in terms of the Health Act, needs a cooling room, a cooling facility. Now, there is no standards for a cooling facility. Everyone goes and they place it. They don't insulate the floor of such a mortuary. So the moisture goes into the ground and the cold goes into the ground. That is a cause that a person can become much quicker decomposed. Secondly, some of the deceased is not being embalmed, which is also a possibility to prevent the decomposition of any remains for an extended period of time. The third matter is that all funeral parlors do not have generators. And if they have generators, which is, they need to comply to that in terms of the law. But we must understand that in Gauteng alone, we've got more than 10,000 funeral parlors. of which a mere 1,500 are registered. So where does the other 3,500 store their deceased families' remains? It's either at a state institution or at another funeral parlor. Now, imagine yourself, and I'm just giving an example to the listeners out there. If you've got a refrigerator at your house and you fill it up with meat or with veggies, and it's too much, it takes too long to freeze. Mm. And the same applies to a funeral parlor. If you have too many deceased in a mortuary, which has got the capacity, for example, 6 deceased people, and you start putting 20 in there, it will cause decomposition.
Sure. Especially during load shedding.
I beg your pardon?
I was saying especially...
As a result of load shedding, because in certain instances, we've got four times, in a day load shedding. In certain cases, it's 4 hours. So we have been preaching and requesting government for years now to look at if there's, we understand that government has got capacity constraints, but can't we look at subsidizing the funeral industry in terms of the fuel cost? Because that now goes back to the consumer and the end user.
Mm.
Some of our members pays up to 30,000 rand a month just on fuel cost to run their generators. But if we look at the average and the emerging funeral parlors, how can they afford that if they only do one funeral a month? They have to keep their refrigerator running. So there is solutions to the problem.
Hey, have you spoken to government about them, about those solutions?
Well,
have you approached them?
We've provided proposals through to the necessary departments. As a matter of fact, we've given proposals through to the presidency, to the Speaker of Parliament, to Gauteng government, and all the departments of economic development, COCTA, health. And I'm sure that we will be seeing the minister or the MECs of health very soon, because we understand that these capacity constraints, not only within the industry, but also within government mortuaries.
Sure.
And everyone is now blaming a government mortuary, but there is effects that also affecting that. So we need to look at this holistically, because we cannot allow or blame anyone if there's no proper guidance, if there is no solutions to the problem. We've asked for exemption for power shedding for funeral parlors. We've asked for subsidies, but it's difficult for government not having a proper database of all the licensed funeral parlors.
Because
if that is not available within municipalities or at your government institution, if you can't manage it, you can't control that.
Yeah.
And we've also had engagements with SALGA and all the relevant government departments over the past 20 years. And unfortunately or fortunately, I think government is starting to realize that they've got a serious problem, because
No worries, Johan. Apologies. I just want us to. I don't want us to lose the aspect of this, and then lose some of our listeners in between. Because
absolutely.
So some of the issues that were raised here, and as I read that, there is also in the Sowetan, one of the individuals who was interviewed said that when they went with their undertakers to go and collect the body on Thursday, their father's body had a foul smell. They said the load shedding was affecting and the temperature of the fridges, and they do not have generators to power them. Of course, then those costs of generators and fuel for generators would be passed on to those who have to pay. But sadly, as one of our producers was mentioning, that you may find that there is a monthly payment that Thabo is contributing. And that monthly payment, as it was envisaged 2 years ago, that did not cover the issue of diesel at all. So the person who's most likely to lose would be the morgue or the funeral parlor who's keeping this body. And then the margins would be low. So what I'm trying to find out from you under such circumstances, Johan, burying people a little bit earlier as opposed to keeping them for over a week or so, How is that proposal being received, especially by those who are bereaved?
We must understand, Thabo, over and above the fact that there's load shedding, the fuel, the cost, the generators, the operational issues, we must understand that there's a domino effect. Firstly, a person is now collected from a place of death, whether it's a government mortuary house, hospital, and it's taken to a funeral parlor. The funeral parlor cannot afford to switch off his or her mortuary at all. It's impossible. That thing has to run. So that is not a problem for a funeral parlor because it's already running. Yes, with load shedding, it increases the cost. We must understand that the funeral industry is not only challenged with load shedding. It's also challenged, home affairs is being challenged, because if the system is off, no death can't be registered. No claims could be submitted to an insurance company to cover those costs. We must understand in the aspect of a Hindu or a Muslim funeral, that's done within 24 hours.
Yes.
That's their culture, that's their tradition. In the European white market, it's done 3-4 days.
Yeah.
But understandably, if we do not understand and respect the cultures, the values and the traditions of black people and African people, do understand that a person that stays in Johannesburg, he works here, he now has to go to Mthatha. People need to be notified. There's other cultures involved. Slaughtering needs to take place. Catering, tents, toilets, night vigils, all those kind of things. Could we do that in 3-4 days? No, we can't. Then we will be forcing people now into the hands of loan sharks. So we must understand, if we do not have the control measures in place and the systems in place, then we will have a challenge, even if the industry requests a shorter period of time. We must take the people's customs and traditions into consideration as well. We've already had the situation with COVID, where people were denied the right to attend a burial, denied the right to attend a night vigil. So there's various aspects that we need, and that's why we're calling on a funeral in Daba, so that we can get the total industry's input, that we can get civil society, religious groupings, traditional leaders, the unions, everyone involved, so that we can get a solution. But it doesn't help us. We're in a crisis situation. We can't wait for another week or two or three, because the media is every day reporting on people becoming decomposed.
Yeah.
In my personal capacity, even though we wrote the laws and the ombudsman, it's not yet implemented to guide the industry on the standards and the do's and the don'ts and provide the solutions. The problem is, because our name is attached to that, the public phones us or the media phones us for our comments. The problem is, in the last week, I personally received 4 calls from 4 different families complaining about decomposition of deceased people. And just remember, in the effect of a African family, there's other issues that's involved in terms of cultures. And people need to ensure that they leave their loved one with a funeral parlor, one that is registered, that's got a mortuary, a funeral parlor that's registered with an association which is recognized, with the Department of Health, with the municipality, with Home Affairs, with the Financial Service Board. Because if any one of that is not in existence, there is a problem. And we don't want to discredit the funeral industry. We do not want to badmouth anyone, but we need to address these issues as a matter of urgency. Not only the funeral industry, but also the capacity constraints of government.
Sure. 7 minutes to 10 o'clock. If you've just joined us, you're on 702. Let's walk the talk. My guest is Johan Rousseau. He's the chairman of Funeral Industry Reformed Association. We are speaking about load shedding as it affects the funeral parlor industry. The funeral industry, how is it affected by load shedding? And we were reading a little bit earlier on from the Sowetan about a couple of families that complained that they found their bodies decomposed, the bodies of their loved ones decomposed after they were sent to various mortuaries, and that is seriously an issue because all of us would like to bury our deceased with dignity and love, and we take it very, very seriously. And to some people, it may also border on the issues of belief, religion, and superstition. And someone may feel that because the body is decomposed, it's because they didn't do anything right with as far as rituals are concerned. So all those issues are there, but this time around, they are caused by load shedding. The effects of load shedding on the funeral parlor industry. If you want to give us a call, you want to comment, feel free to do so. The number 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Alternatively, you can send a text or a voice note to 072-702-1702. 072-702-1702. On Twitter, it's at Radio 702. My handle is at IamFreeTSM. At IamFreeTSM. And we can just have a discussion in the next 5 minutes or so with Johan Rousseau from Funeral Industry Reformed Association. Johan, let's assume for a second that the president is listening. For whatever reason, he's driving home and the radio is on 702 and he's concerned about this issue. Three things that he could do almost immediately to alleviate your problems.
Well, first and foremost, we will ask the president, with all due respect, to exempt funeral parlors from load shedding. Secondly, that they are subsidized. The license and legal funeral parlors must be subsidized. And then thirdly, we must just look at the operational requirements that will enable the consumer to save cost, including that of the funeral industry. The solutions are available. I think we've got more than 50 years of experience within this industry to ensure that decomposition doesn't take place and that we don't have to force families into a quick decision-making process that will ultimately affect, as we rightfully said, and what you said correctly, the rituals, the cultures, the tradition, you know, the cost implications. It will definitely not have an impact there. And I just want to thank you for saying that, because basically you took the words out of my mouth.
And Johan, where to from here? I'm just thinking it's municipalities, it's the provincial governments that need to respond. The president, yes, he's in charge of everything, but he's too far away. The doors that you've been knocking on, the MECs, the MMCs, thus far, have they come back to you? Have they promised you a meeting? And of course, the issue of exemption may be a little bit of a difficulty based on what you've said already. We don't know who's registered and or not. And also, you'd remember the very same argument was placed forward with schools, and Eskom came forward and said they do not have a system that is able to isolate schools from normal communities. And if we have 10,000 funeral parlors, that might also be a bit of a difficulty only in Gauteng.
Absolutely. Well, Tabu, I just gave the message through to certain networks this evening. And it was confirmed that the Premier in Gauteng will be informed thereof. The MEC of Health has allegedly already agreed to see us. But even though that, we have knocked onto the doors of COCTA, SOLDA, the 12 government departments that really oversees and guides the funeral industry. We have written the laws for Gauteng. It's not been implemented, and basically providing guidelines and solutions. So we've done everything in our power. Somewhere, somehow, there's a bottleneck that these measures cannot be addressed. So it's much wider than the actual load shedding issues. I think there's a developmental issue. There's our economy has been affected. Jobs are possibly going to be lost as a result of load shedding. Families are traumatized. Businesses can close down. So we really need an urgent solution. And as I said, we've spoken to all the departments, health, home affairs, labor, SASA. We must also understand that there's a huge threat in terms of a body becoming decomposed because some of the diseases are airborne, especially at government mortuaries. We must understand that there's bodily fluids. Where does it end up?
Yeah.
We must understand that if a body becomes decomposed, how do they seal it, a coffin properly before it's buried? We must understand that there's a night vigil. We must understand that if a body becomes decomposed, it becomes blistered. There's decoloring. There's a variety of aspects which are sensitive that we don't want to discuss on.
Yeah. Johan, I'm losing.
Listeners and government need to understand, and that we can't only blame government.
No, I hear you.
Because we've spoken to all political party leaders, including the presidents of some of these organizations, and unfortunately, they've turned a blind eye.
Yeah. Johan,
on some of these things.
Sadly, we have to leave it at that because I have to run to the news mainly. But I hope that next time we can have a lengthier chat. Thank you so much for making time to speak to us.